With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I'd be a rich man, it's true, if I could make a living out of loving you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Sturry scored a stunner. West Ham were wonderful. And it could be Peter Kenyon to the rescue. Here we go! Hi, gang.
Hello.
It's us. We're back. Luke Moore is here. Pete Donaldson, Jim Campbell and me, Marcus Speller.
Yes, yes. Hello.
The whole gang.
Oh, I'll tell you what, lads. What a weekend of football.
What a weekend of sport.
What a weekend of football. Again, once again, there was only one match on the Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I was very much loving the fact that they managed to score some goals in the end. Yeah.
Mm. I was very much loving the fact that I could watch the Ryder Cup guilt-free. I am not watching Cardiff Burnley. Don't care how much you pay me. I'll watch the highlights.
Wasn't a bad match, to be fair.
I'll even manufacture an opinion. But I'm not watching it live.
I didn't like the dancing that all of the Ryder Cup European golfers were doing their little dances in front of the cameras.
Yeah. You might be thinking of Wii Golf.
It was very reminiscent
big,
of that.
Big eggheads, yeah?
Yeah.
When I saw Super Sunday was Cardiff Burnley, I thought to myself,
what else is on?
I understand why you've got to do it. I don't like it. Mm. I don't respect it, but I accept it.
In the future, this will be Amazon's problem.
Yeah.
Now. You don't respect it.
What? Showing one game on a Sunday that's Cardiff Burnley. Come on.
but do you respect Arsenal Fan TV?
I do.
Yeah, okay,
AFTV.
Right.
AFTV now.
That could, I can't use the name of the club anymore, which should tell them something.
Jim, North London's best, North London's best football opinions.
Yes, but I tell you what, lads, there was a good game on the Saturday.
Saturday tea time made up for it.
Come on. Chelsea versus Liverpool was a great one. Even though there's only two goals, it still didn't disappoint.
There's an elephant in this room.
Yes.
And he goes by the name of Andy Duncan. People who regularly listen to this show will know that Andy was on for the first ever Best Bet with Bet365 hat-trick. I know you normally do this later in the show, Marcus, but I want to get out of the way.
This is worthy.
Yeah. He had both teams to score and over nine corners. So he needed 10 corners or more. Both teams did score, as we saw, thanks to Mr. Daniel Sturridge and Mr. Eden Hazard. But he had just 8 corners. Oh. It's the closest anyone's been.
Yeah. That is so
the closest
close.
Anyone's
it's
been.
It's like micron size.
It was.
Space.
Yeah. We had loads of Twitter activity about it. Yeah. People were worried.
Yeah.
And to be fair, there was a couple of decisions that could have gone to corner, but it actually got given as a goal kick a couple of times. So
there we go.
The referee's palpable.
Doesn't
palpable?
Count.
Culpable.
Culpable, yeah.
Palpable.
He was palpable as well.
He was a pebble. Yeah. He was a bloody pebble.
Palpably culpable.
What do you expect when you have a pebble referee in a game?
That is the trouble.
But what a game, Marcus. What a game.
It was a great game. Yeah. And Andy Duncan, it's been a pleasure, but you're a loser, so sort of.
Yeah, we didn't need one Thursday.
It was a pleasure. So close, sir. So close. We will remember ye.
Yes,
we will remember.
We hardly knew
we'll
ye.
We'll remember you.
And we remember Daniel Sturridge doing things like that for Liverpool a few years ago with Luis Suarez, of course. But what a beauty. Oh, my God. That was one of those ones. Unless you were a Chelsea or Everton fan or Man United and all the other clubs at Liverpool.
We get your point.
You're out of your seat for that.
Yeah.
It was glorious. No run-up. No, it just stood there and it was as if to say, I'm having that.
Last minute as well, yes, please.
It's utterly it's his own club.
It was almost like a sort of golf chip, wasn't it? Because he had that little
Ryder
bit of
Cup,
time
Jim,
to steady himself.
Maybe he'd been inspired by the events.
He tried it in midweek in the League Cup, hit the bar, I think, didn't he?
He did. Mm.
And I like the two big takeaways for me from this game was, and I'll come on to the second one in a minute, the Daniel Sturridge one is great because he's not part of their first 11, their best first 11. Mm-hmm. And if you're a striker and you're on a big contract, it can be fatal for your career, though.
Oh, yeah.
You have to move. Yet he seems to be able, because he's so confident, to come in and have an effect off the bench. And the fact that he came in off the bench and even tried that show, because lots of players, if they're trying to force their way into the team, they're 1-0 down against in a big game. They're not looking to give possession away. They're not looking to do something.
And Chelsea were looking. Percentage. I know Shaqiri missed that chance and there was one or two others in the first half. But Chelsea were looking fairly solid at the back.
Exactly. But for him to come on and try that and show how confident he is, and his goal scoring record for Liverpool is good, but it's very front loaded. Like he's only scored like 30 goals, I think, in his last 5 seasons or something like that.
When it was that season, really, with Suarez.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was great to see. A great end to a fantastic game, which leads me on to my second point. If you're an Arsenal fan or a Man United fan, or dare I say even a Spurs fan here, you will be watching that game thinking, God, these teams are at a level.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the level of intensity. Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of when we went to go and see the Madrid derby.
Yeah, do you know what? Yeah. You're absolutely
right. Almost choreographed theatre of football where the level of intensity and performance is so high. And I think Sarri's Chelsea deserve an immense amount of credit for that. Because
they
do. We talked on this show about them not playing, not having properly been tested yet, apart from on the opening game of the season.
Well, in the League Cup, but...
Yeah, but that's different. Yeah. And the opening game of the season is what it is, and that can go either way. And I thought the way they've implemented his ideas so quickly, I think is a testament to him as a coach and a testament to them as a team. And I think, you know, they've probably been a bit underrated these first couple of months of the new season, but not anymore.
But maybe Sarri was underrating them, Jim, because after the game, he said, we're closer to Liverpool and Manchester City than we think. I mean, was there almost an element from him going, bloody hell, I didn't realise we were that good.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's been very well publicised that Sarri's never won a trophy. And he's coming in, Eden Hazard, the form he's in, it's a cut above anyone he had at Napoli, really.
Yeah.
You'd argue. So that's
quite
that's
late in Sarri's career.
Absolutely,
as well.
Quite late in Sarri's career. And it's nice to see him sort of get his feet under the table so quickly and start enjoying that. But it's interesting language, isn't it? Because any other manager coming into Chelsea, you're aiming
dress
for the
better.
Title. Dress is better at first. Yeah. It all goes awry. Yeah. But you know, aiming for the title is a prerequisite of the job. So it's interesting sort of to hear a bit of insight into his mentality. Maybe it's the language thing, I don't know. But what I hope that they can at least make it interesting and there's more than just Liverpool giving City a credible title challenge. Because what happens to a league when a team starts to dominate it, as we saw with Man United in the 90s, is as good as that team are to watch, the team that dominate, it gets really wearying both for as a fan and for managers of other teams, yeah. because it's you know, it's as we've seen happen in Scotland, it gets too hard to shoot.
Well, not this season, but yes.
No, yeah. I mean, as we've seen, I mean, generally sure. in the past. Sure.
But I think those days are probably over now, aren't they? Thanks to the magnificence.
And maybe Sarri, if you're going to come down the side of the fence where you defend Sarri and say, well, okay, he's never won a title. And I've been critical of him because I think it's a huge gamble for Chelsea to bring him in. 60 years old or whatever he is. And as you say, Jim, not
well, it's not too late to say Sarri.
It's not, yeah. And that's probably the fifth or sixth time that's been done this season by this show. But I still enjoyed it.
By getting really? Worse and better than you, Marcus. Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah. I thought it's either that one or Sarri seems to be the hardest word. Yeah. But he is a switched on guy. He did have a career before he came in football. He does speak very good English because he was based in London when he was working as a banker, I think, and he was based in Switzerland. He's very he's worldly. He knows what he's to do.
Manager when they were based in the country working in a normal job.
He was a banker. I know
it's
for
funny,
years.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And so maybe they went for this type of manager because one, they'd exhausted pretty much every other type of manager.
Well, who else would they
get through him really quickly, and there was a paucity of options available.
But also his style of football is quite attractive to watch. We went to see Napoli last season and we saw it firsthand, attacking and you know, a bit of flair and so on. And Abramovich has been always very clear from behind the scenes wanting that style, even though Chelsea have won loads of trophies, including the Champions League in recent years. But it is quite intriguing the way they are. And when we chatted the other week, or you know, there was comments in the press and all about Sarri, people saying that he can get a little bit more out of Eden Hazard. It's certainly looking like that, isn't it? I mean, okay, he missed that chance to make it 2-0. And had he scored, you would have fancied them to close out the game. But he looks absolutely...
He was still man of the match.
He looks busy, doesn't he? He's leading, which is really important.
He looks like he's enjoying it as well.
Absolutely. And I think because Sturridge's goal was so good, a lot of, you know, it's been missed how good Hazard's first
the
goal
move
was.
The movement from everybody was
to beat a keeper like Alisson. From there, is
but the build
phenomenal.
Up as well, the way they worked.
Bearing
it.
In mind how Alisson had played in that match, he kept Liverpool in it a couple of times. Yeah. With there was, I can't remember who was one on one with him, and I
was Hazard.
Was it Hazard? Was it Hazard? It was kind of a bit of a leggy kind of.
I think Willian in the first half. As
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he's cleaned up after Joel Matip as well.
Someone was saying the other day, I forget who it is now, was saying that Hazard's got his eye on Golden Boot this year. He wants to be top scorer in the Premier League. That's his thing.
Yeah, best player again, because he won it before, I believe.
But it's a fantastic, played at.
But you're right as well, Luke, the intensity and the quality on show was quite something. And that set the bar, really, for in terms of sort of title challenge and so on. Chelsea's still obviously very much in it, as are other teams at this early stage. But realistically now, people were talking about Liverpool and Manchester City, realistically. Well, you've got to put Chelsea in there. Mm. And it would be brilliant if it was a three-horse race. I know it's ridiculous almost to say it this early on in the season, but it would be fantastic. But more concerning for Liverpool is Mo Salah, or are we concerned? Because, I mean, against Spurs, he looked very lively, for example, was crucial in some of their attacking
play. I think certainly teams appear to be more... I mean, Luis and Rudiger were very good at the weekend. And lots of praise has been bestowed upon Gomez and Van Dijk, and right, so for me, Van Dijk at the moment is the best centre back in the Premier League.
It's class.
But I think what we're seeing with Salah is we're seeing a little bit of extra attention being paid to him just because he had such a spectacular season last year. And it's got a bit of a feeling of that Barcelona side a few years ago where if one of them didn't get you, the other two would.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's got a bit of that about it with Liverpool. I think he's getting a lot of attention. And I think it's going to be a natural drop off because one, he's had a truncated summer because of his injury. And of course, he had disappointment in the World Cup. He's played a lot of football. I think Klopp will be keen to play down the attention on him because the important thing is for them this season, they are geared up to win the Premier League this season and they've got to go for it. And whether they win it with Salah scoring two goals or come second with Salah scoring another 50, I think they'd prefer to win the Premier League. So I think it reminds me a bit of in NFL. Sometimes in NFL, I'm not an expert in it, but I've watched a bit of it. You have these big receivers who the quarterback looks for. And after a while in their career, they become just essentially decoys. Like the quarterback never goes to them because they've got two men on them all the time. But what that does is it frees up space elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think really...
And the cycle continues.
Exactly. And so maybe we're seeing a bit of that. And Liverpool have got other options, as we've seen, with Sturridge coming on and Firmino and Shaqiri. So I don't think it's a huge concern for Liverpool. I expect they'll want to insulate Salah from that criticism and hope he can just flourish in his own way. He started the season quite slowly last year, by the way.
He did. And also, I think the only disappointing thing, I think, every player who's come back from the World Cup is leggy. They're tired. That's what everyone's saying about them.
Not Hazard.
Not Eden Hazard. Yeah, that's
but he's got
clear.
So much leg.
Yeah, that's...
But like with Salah, I just sort of think some of his decision making was poorer than I'd expect from him. But he sort of like he had the chance to sort of lay off when he mm-hmm. had a shot. I don't know. That was the thing that disappointed me about his performance, I think.
Yeah, he looks like he's lacking a little bit of sharpness, doesn't he? There was a point where he did break through and he effectively shot straight at the goalkeeper, which, you know, you would have expected him to at least make the goalkeeper work a bit harder, you know, at the peak of his form last season. But again, he has had that truncated summer, so I don't think it's an endemic problem.
And speaking of a potential three-horse race, I do think that Man City, Liverpool and Chelsea have been the three standout teams. But you've got to factor in the fact that, I mean, Arsenal have got their own shortcomings, but I think they've won 7 games in a row now.
And they're
playing averagely but winning. And then, of course, Spurs are only 4 points off the top as well.
Yep.
So it's a lot of quality in there. There's one team that's notable by their absence in that, and I'm sure we'll come on to them shortly.
Well,
but it's an exciting start to the Premier League.
Exciting start. And I think what I was going to say about Salah was that I was almost in a weird way quite pleased that Klopp wasn't afraid to take him off. As one of their big stars. I mean, we may have a different opinion on another man taking off one of his bigger players, but I feel that the circumstances aren't the same.
I make no apologies for this. The Man United fans have had it all their own way for too long.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next.
When I saw Pogba come off, I just thought it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you just sent the crying, laughing emoji around the WhatsApp.
Did I?
Yeah. We all knew what you meant.
Yeah, there we go.
But we're going to start talking about West Ham. Because their last four results, bearing in mind how dreadful they were at the start, and we were all thinking, oh, blimey, here we go. What's going to happen? Is Pellegrini going to be off? Are they going to be relegated?
I don't think we were. I think we were sort of saying that they had a good side. They just needed gel, they needed a little bit of time.
A short memory, young man.
Donaldson, you were sticking the boot in.
No, I was not, mate. I haven't got any boots. I don't know where they are.
You threw them into West Ham. Well, it won 3-1 at Everton, 0-0 with Chelsea, 8-0 in the cup, and now 3-1 against Manchester United. I mean, they have improved enormously. I mean, Mark Noble, who we were saying, I mean, is he going to run out of puff, you know, in the centre of a four?
He didn't have any puff at the start of the season.
Man of the match. Yeah. He was man of the match. Arnautovic was excellent. I was worried about Arnautovic because I thought come January, he's going to be, you know, we're going to see the arms being thrown up in the air all the time, and he's going to be too good, I suppose, for that side and all the rest of it. But no, he's that doesn't seem to be the case now. Anderson and Yarmolenko.
Yeah. And Zabaleta had a fantastic game. Rolled back the years.
We thought his legs had gone, maybe. It was a strange one with Zabaleta, having been such a great performer and consistently so good over the years for Man City. He goes to West Ham, he's a step down, obviously, in terms of his age and what was going on at Manchester City. But he was brilliant as well.
There's a puff surplus looking, down there.
I think so. Fabianski looking sharp in goal. What on earth Pellegrini done?
I think one of the things that Pellegrini deserves a lot of credit for is just changing up his style and his system.
So he started with the 4-4-2 and he thought, right, this demonstrably is not working.
No, but he's put legs around Noble.
Absolutely.
And
Declan Rice has been...
That's what Noble needs. He's got Obiang, who's a unit, and he's got Rice, who's obviously full of legs and full of running because he's so young and exciting and dynamic. And his Noble's there. I think, did Noble have two assists? Definitely had a good one.
Well, they had a hand in the first goal.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, actually. He put it out the way, yeah. Mm. And I think they deserve an immense amount of credit. And on the Arnautovic thing, he's around better players now. I think with players that have come in, when someone like Arnautovic, who is an ego-led individual, let's be fair, if he sees someone like Philippe Anderson coming in, he's thinking, this is a bit of me.
That's right. Yeah,
I'm happy with it. I'm happy to be playing alongside him, you know. So, and I think you're right about Zabaleta, because last season he was poor. And sometimes you think it's easy when a player's of that age, and obviously Man City let him go for a reason, you know, with their blessing, because he was such a good servant for them. It's easy for us to jump to a conclusion and say, well, his legs must have gone.
Well, but we were saying that because of his performances on the pitch.
Of course, no, absolutely. But what I'm saying is sometimes, even if a new manager comes in and injects some fresh ideas, at the end of the day, he's still a right back and he still needs to get up and down. And if he can't do that, no manager can help him. So it's credit to the manager for actually getting that out of him.
Well, and that's a relationship that obviously was there before because they'd worked together.
Exactly.
And that's quite crucial. And with Zabaleta last season, there may have been a few injury problems. I mean, I think also as well, he loved Manchester City and I think he loved Manchester. He loved living around there and so on. So there's a move. And the fans don't want to hear this, of course, but there might be an element of him going, you know, this is not the same situation that I was in last season when he was there
last
year.
Well, it's just taking time to adjust to a new environment. That happens to anyone.
Yeah, maybe. And they had a bit of a toxic season last year at times.
Yeah, but it's not just that, Jim. It's also to do with the intensity. I always remember an example Mickey Gray gave me when he left back and obviously played for England and stuff. And he went down to play somewhere. It might have been Sheffield Wednesday. I hope I don't do him a disservice, but it might be Sheffield Wednesday. And he said this after a few months, he's looked around the dressing room and just thought, it's ain't for me this. I can't do this. These players don't demand enough. They're not hard working enough. They make excuses. And Matt Taylor in the Ramble Meets, you guys have all heard, said the same thing. He said the players, part of the problem is ability, but a lot of it is to do with work rate. A lot of them make excuses. They sit around, they want to be on Instagram, they want to do this, that and the other, but they don't understand that you've got to put the work in. And I think a lot of players who play at the top level, look at Ryan Giggs, look at Paul Scholes, look at David Beckham, they don't want to play at a lower level because I think I'm not used to this. That's and maybe it comes across as a bit arrogant, but on the other hand, you can sort of understand it. Mm. So fair play. It's different because West Ham are a Premier League team. They've got world-class players in different positions occasionally. but Zabaleta has applied himself. He's not let that get to him, and he started this season very well, and he deserves credit for that because Man United's best outfield player this season has probably been Luke Shaw, and he was playing up against him.
Well, he made the let's make that very, very clear. But the most amount of sprints, there was the Opta stats about how many sprints each Manchester United footballer made. I think Lukaku made four in the entire match. Four.
And one of them was coming out, getting away from the dressing room.
David De Gea did zero. Disgusting.
Yeah. Unacceptable.
Unacceptable lack of sprinting.
Blimey O'Reilly. Yeah. I mean, just very quickly before we move on to Manchester United, what a flick from Felipe Anderson.
Oh, it's beautiful, wasn't it? I mean, it was offside, I think.
You know, marginal, some, though.
Proving. Yeah, but I don't need to.
Do you think it's actually a little bit, I don't know if pathetic's too strong a word, but you know what I mean, for Mourinho to grab for that sort of stuff? Yes. You're playing West Ham, you're Man United, your squad's worth a third of £1 billion. Marginal offside decisions sometimes go against
you. He singled out all three goals as if to say, apart from that, we were at the races.
Yeah.
Apart from that, we're 1-1-0.
Can we italicise the pathetic?
Yeah. No, just go straight. More... Bold, right, underline. Comic Sans. I want it Comic Sans. I mean,
with a little one next to it, and then you go at the bottom of the page, it says, yes, this is definitely true.
You said last week about, what's his name? Was it Quinn's goal for Aston Villa, the volley?
Yeah.
McGinn. McGinn, of course. Yeah. How it was all in vain and it was a bit of a shame and what a great goal, blah, blah, blah. Marcus Rashford's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. We'll be out there. Nice. What a goal that was! Yeah. But it didn't matter because Man United were shite. It's their worst league start for 29 years. Knocked out of the cup.
Sorry, Marcus. Mourinho just asked me to say it's the joint worst start. Is it? Don't be out of order.
Coming soon. Yeah. Coming soon.
Wait till next week, yeah. They play Valencia at home on Wednesday.
Newcastle United at home. Lovely.
What a salve to that word.
Oh, dear. Well, they knocked out, obviously, by Derby in the cup, and they've got 10 points from 7 games. He started digging out his players for their lack of sort of winning mentality or their stones, as you will. I mean, is he going to be there much longer?
But it doesn't feel like he is, does it? And also, what it appears that the players, particularly Paul Pogba, seem to know is that because he spent so much time digging out Luke Shaw or Eric Bailly and Phil Jones last week, whoever it is this week, they know that broadly people are actually going to be on their side time, which is quite a weird thing. So he's dug himself into a real
hole. He's gone too far again.
He has.
And I think also, there's some pretty basic stuff happening here. One, to me, he doesn't look like he knows what his best side are.
Does his best side include Scott McTominay in a back three?
Well, that's
the
thing,
a special character.
Yeah. He's current player of the year. You wonder if him playing. So he played Herrera in the back three earlier in the season.
Yeah,
and now he's played McTominay there when he's got Eric Bailly, who for many people is their best defender, on the bench. You wonder whether that's a Redknapp picking two goalkeepers on the bench situation where he said, look, I wanted a centre-back, you didn't give me one, and now I'm having to do this. Or whether it's a little bit more innocent than that and you give him the benefit of the doubt and you say, well, do you know what? The reason he's playing that player in there is because when we've got the ball, he can step out and he can join in and he can help us out and give us another option. You don't know.
With other managers, I might think.
But the thing that belies that, though, Marcus, is the fact that I can't remember. I mean, I'm happy to be embarrassed on this point by anyone in the room or anyone listening, but I can't remember when Man United picked the same team two weeks in a row. Mm. He doesn't know what his best team is. He doesn't know what his best formation is. Midweek, I think he played 4 at the back. He's played 3 at the back here. And more importantly, much more, anyone will tell you, more importantly than the formation, the application has to be there. Well, you take someone like Yarmolenko, right? Who is essentially you know, a human left foot with a face, right? That's basically all he is. Right? He gets the ball, he'll move it and sign to his left foot, and he'll do something.
Do the toes have individual boots on them?
And faces.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And, is that why he can't head the ball? Because he's just a face, and he proved that against Chelsea.
You know the point I'm making?
Yeah.
And I understand in a particular like extreme example, like Aryan Robben at his pomp, you know what he's going to do. You can't stop it.
Absolutely.
I get that.
Yeah.
I think Yarmolenko's a good player. I don't think he's an unstoppable player.
No.
And yet they will know that. They'd have worked on that shape all week, presumably, and they'd have known what Yarmolenko does. Yet for that second goal, which unfortunately comes off Lindelof, he just waltzes in. They don't stop him. They'll turn their back. That sort of stuff, no formation in the world is going to help you if you don't do that properly.
Yeah. I mean, he isn't getting the best out of those players, is he? I mean, he can't find his best 11 because they're not at the level that they should be at, because he's creating so much unrest, or it certainly seems that way. Because, I mean, the first half in particular, but throughout most of the game, really, they really lacked imagination. And West Ham played well, but they only really had to do the basics to do so. Mm.
Well, they started off well, and their dominance in the open exchanges, which again for me is another telltale sign about a team. You're warmed up, you're in the Premier League, it's on TV, all the rest of it. You're at one of the biggest clubs in the world. Why are you starting so slow against a team who are nowhere near as good as you? And West Ham made that dominance count, and they scored. And after that, it was very, very difficult for United.
Alexis Sanchez not even in the squad.
Now, that's another one.
I appreciate that there may be something going on there that the press don't know about. So that is within the realms of possibility.
He's off choosing his dogs.
Do you know what I mean? So you can't say, oh, well, 100% we know this, that, or the other. But we know he wasn't injured, and we know he's been playing poorly.
Can I also just say on that, and that's a really important point, I think. You know, Alexis Sanchez has been seen as being a bit of a difficult character, right? But he's not even in the squad, okay? So if he's had some sort of bust-up with Mourinho, well, so is Pogba, right? And it gets to the point after a while. But this Pogba thing is a sideshow. It's overshadowing the whole thing. And I think maybe we're not quite at the stage yet, and maybe this is a bit harsh on Mourinho. But you know what they say? If everyone you meet is a dickhead, you're probably a dickhead.
Well, that's right. But Gary Neville's tweet was interesting. He said, this mess started when Manchester United sacked David Moyes, I just said there. David Moyes after 8 months.
He was called David Moyes when he was in
Spain. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, David Moyes. and we lost all sense of the values that the club has been built on for 100 years. It's not the manager. It's the lack of football leadership above him. They are bouncing all over the place with no plan. It's interesting he's saying it's the people.
I think that's right as well. Sorry, I know I've talked a lot on this, but I do feel very passionate about this.
I'm sure.
Illustrious old club. No leadership at the top. There was talk of them last month bringing in a sporting director, apparently with Mourinho's blessing. That's not happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's clearly an issue as well. And the Gary Neville point about the illustrious club thing and the firing of David Moyes, I think that's a separate point, but I do think there's merit in that.
I do.
They thought quite long and hard over hiring Moyes, and they pulled the trigger on him after, I think, 8 months.
Yeah. But is Mourinho's appointment itself not a further symptom of that? Because as we said last week, it's never really felt like the right fit, because you know, nobody can be surprised that this sort of thing is happening with Mourinho in the third season. We've seen it time and time again, and surely they should have seen that coming.
I saw him falling into line though, way more than this though. I saw him respecting
the
club a little bit more and the institution of it. I just didn't see him kind of just throwing his toys out the pond.
It's funny,
second footballer on his roster.
I thought that might be the case actually. I think I remember saying at the time that when he went to Chelsea, they sort of gave him a blank canvas, if you know what I mean, because they were on the up. They hadn't won the league by then, and he
it's
delivered
not a comparative
them.
Situation, is it?
No. Like, so he delivered them the league. So when Mourinho could gob off in the press or come out with all this stuff and blah blah blah, which was different back then, I understand. He could do that, and the club would go with him. With Inter, it was probably a similar situation. You know, I understand with a club with a bigger tradition than Chelsea, but they would get around him.
Marcus, we talked about this before, you and I.
Yeah,
and we said, Mourinho, when he can get the club to bend to his will,
exactly,
it's successful. When he has to bend to the club's will, it doesn't work.
But what Pete's saying, I thought Manchester United was the one place in which
there was a club bigger than him.
Exactly. Maybe 10 years ago it
was. And then he moved into that hotel.
And
you were wrong.
He went to the Lowry and it went downry.
Wow. Get out,
worth
Marcus.
It. But he made a lot of noise about how much he respected Man United, and he always made it clear that he always had an eye on that job, and we, you know, spoke very warmly about Alex Ferguson, and maybe he pulled one over their eyes.
I think if he'd have taken over from Ferguson, I think that was the chance for him to go to a bigger club and go, do you know what, there's a bigger club than me, and I will bend to what they're saying, or, you know, that kind of idea. Whereas now I think he was pissed off with Manchester United that he didn't get offered the job after Ferguson. And I think that I think that that now he's a bit like, right, I'll show you. And of course, with Guardiola in town, with Manchester City, that's going to play on his mind. And we are where they are, you know. And you know, they're back in action in the Champions League. So yeah, we'll see what happens there.
There are parallels there because obviously they played against a defensively very poor Sevilla in the Champions League last season, didn't they? Didn't go for it. Were knocked out.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah,
he's another key Champions League game against Spanish opposition for Mourinho at midweek.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Speaking of Manchester United and specifically ex-Manchester United players, I think we all agree that it would be something akin to dereliction if we didn't mention that the world's most famous footballer, possibly the world's most famous sports star, has been accused of rape. Obviously, a story that's not been dominating the headlines as much as I think it should have done. He's not the first footballer to stand accused of this crime. He probably won't be the last. And I'm mentioning this mainly because I personally was kind of creeped out. I think we all were by the silence over the weekend from the usual outlets, which he's the poster boy for. Outlets, you know, the ones you sort of see online that kind of hang on every tidbit and hearsay, conjecture regarding a player of his stature. And in 2018, it's this silence and this sense of sort of ickiness, I think we all feel, that creates a little bit of an atmosphere that makes it harder for survivors of rape to come forward. There's no point in getting in the weeds on this one. There's no point in getting into the weeds of the case itself. It's been filed in Nevada, and with the caveat that no woman invites a life-altering, you know, shitstorm to her door on a whim. And he's a man with unimaginable means. I'd like to think that if we didn't mention it, it would kind of be a little bit strange, a little bit weird. It would be the elephant in the room, I think, when we move on to shows like On the Continent and when we talk about the Champions League, and it would make our jobs 10 times more difficult. So, yeah, I just thought it's important for us to reference that in this show. We're back after this.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Let's talk about Newcastle United, eh?
No. I don't want to.
Lost again.
The new Kenyon era.
Yes.
Coming in.
Yeah.
Mike Ashley could not have seen that coming, eh?
No.
Peter Kenyon.
There's a picture of Peter Kenyon that Sky keep on using, and he looks like a squished Alan Shearer. He looks like someone's put Alan Shearer's head in a vice.
Maybe someone's done a sort of face swap thing to try and like trick you all into thinking it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Is that his opening pitch? I look like Alan Shearer. What could possibly go wrong here?
Jim, in the annals of Football Ramble,
History.
Didn't you send Peter Kenyon some hair once?
We all did that.
Yeah, you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, we did do that.
Forgot about that.
We sent, yeah, we posted Peter Kenyon some of my hair.
You did this. I wasn't a part of that. Oh, yeah. Forgot the emails with Pete. Sorry.
No, that's all right. I pointed it out to you, Marcus, but you do it, did all you? Right. That's all right. We'll do it in a minute. I didn't need you to mention it. I was just pointing it out.
I was so keen to get onto the Peter Kenyon show. Yeah. I do apologise. We normally go to the emails straight after the break. Sorry. Right. Jumped the gun there. But yes, Peter Kenyon, Peter, are you pleased that a man with your same first name is getting involved in this?
Yes, that is why I think that's it's going to be a runaway success.
How credible do you think this is? Because
Who the hell knows Marcus Speller?
I just want you to... I want a flicker of hope, damn it. I want that club to be sold to somebody
Anything. I think he's got whoever takes over, if indeed that ever happens. They've got a job on. The training facilities have somewhat stymied. They've completely gone to seed, so to speak. They're dilapidated at best.
How do you know that?
There was plans. I think it was 2012, they had a big plan for a redux, a new upgrade to the training facilities. Never happened. They were going to spend so many million pounds on it and stuff. I think they spent £200,000 over like the last 5 years or something on updating St. James's Park and stuff like that. I think it was, they've not invested. St. James's Park, by all accounts, is starting to crumble and short its age a little bit. And people need to keep on top of that. So, I think the club is a bigger job than I think anybody
that's off the pitch, of course. On the pitch, I think you have to urge a bit of caution because they were third bottom this time last season. They finished 10th. Mm. They've played some tough games. They've played Spurs, they've played Chelsea, they've played Man City, they've played Arsenal in the league. They've a couple of games where they should have done better, I'd say. The game against Cardiff, obviously, where they missed that penalty and all the rest of it.
Against Leicester, it was so routine.
And that's the disappointing thing.
Leicester are a good team.
I know they are, but
they made it very, 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 very easy. The handball is one of those sort of things that happens when you're low on confidence. But you've got, like, up top, injured Salomon Rondon. He's not looked like any sort of footballer. Hossolu and Perez. Would they get into any other Premier League side realistically?
Well, the thing that confused me, Pete, against Leicester was the fact that he took off Richie and he took off Perez. Mm. And they're, to me, they're the most likely. And then you've got, of course, Dwight Gayle banging them in for West Brom at the moment.
But he's in the Huckabee zone, though.
He's got a place in the Huckabee zone. He's bought somewhere. He's not just renting. He's bought a place there. So, but I just do think they've got a good manager. They don't get... I mean, they go to Old Trafford, which I think was the biggest defeat they had last season. They were beaten 4-1 there. Mm. They went a goal ahead. But they don't get battered. Benitez teams don't get hammered. So if he can start to build a bit of momentum now they've got through this really difficult opening period. I think they've had one of the toughest starts in the league.
And to be honest, they've probably played better against those sides. The worrying thing is when they play sides like Cardiff.
How do they
when
play they against Palace?
Like Crystal Palace.
They were fortunate.
Not great.
Probably.
They were fortunate. They stole a draw there. They completely stole a draw and they just fell to pieces against Leicester. They just look so low on confidence.
Lack of goals.
Lack of goals. He had to reshuffle his back four because there were a couple of injuries and stuff. And I think for some reason we missed Paul Dummett. Now, when was that a sentence that was ever going to be said? But. Yeah, it's not looking great. But, you know, Cardiff look pretty dreadful. And I think Huddersfield will go down as well.
So we are just battling
for that one place, aren't we?
Why don't you get something off your chest with the emails? Get yourself feel a bit better. Do some emails. Get something off your chest.
Let's have some emails with Pete Don.
All right,
then. Where's the bees?
Oh, we need the bees, don't we? Yes.
Not the bees.
Where's the bees?
Yeah. Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees!
Ah! You've got mail.
Alex says, hello lads, I'd just like to say that playing the full version of the Going for Gold theme, despite Marcus's bleating, will forever go down as one of my favourite ramble moments of all time. I was listening on headphones, but when it started playing, I transferred it onto my Bluetooth speaker, so the immortal theme tune was blaring out across the whole house.
It's a damning indictment of our 10 years 10 years doing this job. My highlight was probably when you played that song. Yeah, great.
I transferred it onto my Bluetooth speaker, so the whole theme tune was blaring right across the whole house. Early that day, me and my girlfriend had argued. However, the irresistible melody swiftly ended the silent treatment and we danced like mad and belted out the chorus in something approaching harmony. Thank you, Peter, for saving my weekend. It was a special moment.
I expect when his girlfriend heard the immortal line, the heat is on, the time is right. She was maybe expecting something a bit better than that.
Well, this is great, though. We're homing cats, we're healing
wounds in relationships.
Yeah. Homing cats, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Great stuff.
Jordan on Twitter, I'm popping over to Twitterland if that's all right.
Couldn't be asked to log in.
Points out that the Coventry goalkeeper, Lee Burge, he's likely to miss the game against Pompey after being hit in the face with the puck during a Coventry Blaze ice hockey match.
Mm. Really? Multitasking.
And there's a lovely tweet from Lee Burge saying, great night at the ice hockey. Won't be going there again.
He got proper pucked.
Brad's come in with an email. Can you please take time out of the show to discuss how terrible of a human being Gylfi Sigurdsson is for ruining what otherwise would have been a perfect set of 3 p.m. Premier League 2-0 afternoon fixtures.
Oh yeah, because Everton won 3-0 because of it. Yeah. We're not taking time out of the show. This is very much part of the show.
Yeah, part of the show. We'll do it on the show.
What a sod that Sigurdsson is.
Wolves won 2-0, Arsenal won 2-0, Spurs beat Huddersfield 2-0, Man City won 2-0, and Leicester won 2-0. So Everton...
Maybe someone on the radio, someone with the radio hadn't told him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can be part of history here.
Yeah, and he put it in and the fans were like, oh, what'd you do that for?
Didn't he miss a penalty in that game as well?
He tried.
Yeah, he tried. He's doing his bit. I will not keep passing up all these opportunities.
I think it was at 0-0.
And if any Fulham fans are listening and you want to know when you're going to hear your team mentioned on this show again, when they win will be probably
to
Speller.
When Mitrovic scores.
They're at home to Arsenal next time, aren't they?
They're at home to Arsenal. Are we done, Peter?
Yes.
We are. We're going to talk about Arsenal now.
Well, you had an in for Arsenal then, but you didn't use it. You went back to me.
Well, I was just making
bad
sure.
Bad presenter. Let's do it. You sit on the naughty step.
You're not confident at the moment.
You are unpredictable.
Marcus, let's do it again. And of course, Fulham are playing Arsenal next. So.
Yeah.
There's no more emails, guys.
They are playing Arsenal, isn't the weather lovely? Oh, yes, Arsenal, they won on the weekend.
Petty.
Not the petty check. Not the most convincing win, but Arsenal got the win, Jim.
Yeah, they got a win and a clean sheet as well, which has been difficult at times up to now. So, I mean, I'm not too worried about the manner of the 7 wins on the bounce. I'm just delighted I can say that.
Exactly.
What about Rob Holding? What's he been saying? He said that Arsenal have developed a winning mentality under Unai Emery.
All they had to do was get rid of that big money centre-back sign they signed and bring Rob Holding in, and it's all gone fine.
Well, and the manager.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And most of the backroom staff.
Yeah, and change Arsenal Fan TV to AFTV.
But quite a lot has changed, it's fair to say. But yeah, I mean, obviously Emery's methods are starting to work. You can see the players that are working a bit harder, pressing a bit harder, and Lacazette should have scored from that dink, but he was still just busy. He was basically the reason Cathcart scored that own goal, just getting in front of him like that. And you know, it isn't the most entertaining stuff at the moment, but obviously Arsenal have a lot of quality, so that's always going to come through at some point. And it looks positive. It's really, really good. I mean, a long way to go.
I like the fact that they were given a real I wouldn't say that Watford are just a physical team, because that would be unfair, but they are a physical team, and that was an examination for Arsenal. Watford had lots of the game.
Had chance. Was it Success who might have scored?
Hit the post, didn't he?
And Grassi was gutted after the game. They thought he should have got something, but they didn't.
Watford are a tough team to control, to dominate, even at home.
Mm. Well, 10 minutes to go, I mean, it's still 0-0, and maybe you're tempted to say a few years ago that would have been an examination Arsenal might have failed. Mm-hmm. Whereas they passed that examination this time, and it's going to take Emery a while to undo whatever he feels was done wrong before he came to the club. That's not to say he's right and Wenger was wrong, but that's the situation when you inherit a new club, I suppose. Yeah. And it's going to take him a while. I mean, none of us would like to see, I don't think, you know, Arsenal finish sixth or whatever and Emery get fired, because that would just get back to... I mean, that's a Man United mistake, really.
Yeah.
That's a Man United mistake right there. Mm. Similar situation.
I don't think that would happen.
I don't think it would either.
Maybe it's naive on my part.
And nor do I think it should. Yeah. I think you're right. I don't think it will happen. I think they'll be loyal to him and they'll stick with him because they understand it's a massive job. Mm. The guy before him has been there 20-odd years.
Well, yeah. Petr Cech went off, and we finally saw Bernd Leno make his debut. He played well.
Yeah, he made a very good save.
Cech could be out for a few weeks, Jim. Is it possible Leno could keep that number one jersey if he plays well? Or do you think Cech's place in the team is done and dusted?
I don't know. It's an interesting one, because a lot's been made about Cech looking a bit wobbly from the back. But he has improved on that since it started. And he's actually been very good in goal.
But if
you were
the manager, Cech is the stalwart in goal. The players are used to having him there, because largely the players were there before Emery. Mm. What would you do? Because if he puts Leno in goal, that's... And keeps him there, it's a little bit of a statement. Well, and you're basically saying, well, Cech, you're on the number two now, and this is the young guy coming
through.
That's
what Arsenal need, though. That's what Arsenal need for two seasons.
And this is right. what Emery seems to be
so
quite good at doing
so
as
do
well.
Think
well,
do?
What he's got to do is make an assessment on Leno versus Cech at the end of that period, when Cech's available again, he's got to be very unemotional about it and look at it and go, is Leno better for the team? Is it, you know, is distribution from the back better? X, Y, and Z, is his shot stopping as good? He's got to be quite formulaic about it, really.
And sure, but from what you've seen and what you know, Cech's not going to improve much. His distribution's not going to improve.
You've got to bear in mind, I've seen, like, you know, a game and a half of Leno.
Of course, but he's a young, exciting keeper that Emery signed. And Emery, you'd think, you know, fairly canny operator. We saw what he did at Seville and he was at PSG not very long.
I think it's without being unfair to Peter Cech, who's obviously been amazing over the years, it's a convenient injury for...
I really think
you said a few weeks ago, I think it was when you were talking about Guendouzi, the midfield player, now who, of course, now is sitting on the bench and Torreira and Xhaka appear to be playing. You said that what he's doing, Emery, is he's sending a message saying that if you play well enough, you stay on the team.
Absolutely.
Well, Leno's got an opportunity to do that now. And I think I know it can sound disrespectful saying an injury was convenient, because obviously it's not convenient for Peter.
No, but we know this, what you're saying.
But Leno's got a chance here to stamp his authority down, and I think if he's got, based on what I saw against Watford where he was very good, I think he's got a good chance of doing that.
I was quite excited for Arsenal. I mean, I've no vested interest, you know, but I looked at that and I thought, do you know what? I could see a changing of the guard here.
Speaking of Petr Cech, did you all see the FIFA 19?
yes, great.
Yeah. I keep seeing it online and I stare at it for ages and
for
I can't stop laughing. FIFA 19 video game, obviously Petr Cech has a hat, a helmet when he plays football, but obviously there are some off-field aspects of the video game, so you're occasionally called into the chairman's office to renegotiate contracts and stuff like that. But the game doesn't have a Petr Cech without his helmet version of his head. So he's in full suit, but he's still wearing it.
Did you see what he tweeted?
No.
Cech tweeted, oh, that's absolutely ridiculous. I'd never wear a tie.
Listen, he's quite a tall man. He doesn't want to bang his head. Also, there was a fantastic, I've only seen a little snippet of this, but there was a, Carnu put a charity match together at the weekend, and it was at Barnet. And there's some big names involved. Mido was involved.
Nice to see.
That's a big name.
Yeah, a big name, literally. The best part of it, though, was that Arsene Wenger was involved.
Was that the one he played?
No.
Oh.
No. Oh, you might have played. I don't think he did, no.
Well, he played recently, didn't he?
Yeah, he looked like a chicken.
He assistant managed for Big Sol.
Wow.
Big Sol's manager on the team. Wenger was his assistant.
Lovely. Oh, yes.
You can tell, I didn't see anything about the game. I don't know anything about it, but I will put my reputation as poor as it is on this.
Yeah.
Big Sol took that really seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Six up front. Well, Sol, you might want it. No, that's what we're doing.
I'm just a normal manager. Can you tell everyone we're switching to a back three? Tell everyone we're switching to a back three, please.
Do you know what? Speaking of Carnu, what's his name? Is it Idris Carnu who plays for Port Vale or somebody? It was the Port Vale game in League Two, and just saw a 97th minute equaliser from Carnu in League Two. And for a second, I thought, no, surely he's not come back, is he?
It is Idris Carnu, he's only 18.
Yeah, at the ripe old age of 42 is Nwankwo Carnu. Yeah, 42.
Wouldn't discount him.
Right, after the break, we're going to go down the leagues and crack open the WhatsApp group. See you in a moment. Welcome back, everybody. Now then, the preview show sponsored by Bet365 is happening on Thursday. We need a new best better.
Yeah. You better.
We're not giving Andy Duncan any more credit. He's had his moment in the
sun.
Not mentioning him again, although I just have. We need a new better for Thursday. If you think you've got what it takes, show@thefootballramble.com and we'll pick one out.
We will indeed. Let's go to the championship. West Brom won away to Preston. Preston having a terrible time. West Brom having a lovely time. Darren Moore's men are top of the league. Good to see. We like Darren Moore, don't we?
Yeah. We do indeed.
We do like Darren Moore. And Jay Rodriguez has said that the respect Darren Moore has from his players has had a huge impact on the team. He comes across as a decent chap.
He does.
He's switched on, knows the footballs.
We are obliged to say that they're the top scorers in the championship. They've got 25 goals. 24 of those came in one game against QPR. So that's skewing the stats.
Yeah, that is true. Although, I mean, they're the team to watch if you like goals, and we all like goals because of the top scorers, as you say. But they have conceded more than any other team in the top 10.
Well, they've got a good squad. They've got a good team of players, and we know that. But with Darren Moore essentially making it impossible for him not to be given the job last year. Well, he did, didn't he? He did really well. And of course, they were already relegated, essentially, but he took them very close and he got a lot of credit. Completely different set of circumstances when you turn up for the first day of pre-season in the championship.
Absolutely.
And the players want to know what you're made of. So he's done a brilliant job so far. And credit to him, because he does seem like a lovely chap. Speaking of QPR, got battered 7-0, I think, and followed that up with another defeat. And then they won a few decent results. And everyone started to say, oh, McLaren, he's turned it around.
They've slipped back.
Lost
two
on the bounce.
Yeah.
Steve will do that to you.
I'll tell you what, though, as we always say with the Championship, it's the one to watch. 4 points separate first and ninth after 10 games in the Championship. Glorious. Glorious. That's what
it's
we like.
Purest league.
That's what we like to see. We'll leapfrog over League One, because I forget who's top of League One at the moment.
Portsmouth.
Yeah, okay. And League Two, little mention for Lincoln City.
How can you say you're going to leapfrog over Portsmouth when they played against Rochdale, whose manager is everyone's favourite dad?
True.
Who came out and said Portsmouth were better than us in every department. Now, carry on.
Every department?
Yeah.
The finance department?
They are now. The dad department. Yeah. Not the dad department, yeah.
I spent Saturday night in a Ibis in Fratton.
Yeah, you did. That was depressing. I don't understand why you want to tell people about that.
It's very depressing.
You've basically gone to the most depressing hotel chain in the most depressing part of Portsmouth.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. You hate yourself.
I do.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
And then I went to a Yates's.
Did you really?
I did, yeah.
Were you out on the Raz with Peter Reid or
Albert,
something?
Is it Albert Road? Albert Road?
Yeah. Albert Road, yeah.
And anything happened?
No, literally nothing.
Nothing that we can tell you, that we can say on the show. League Two, little mention for Lincoln City, who are top of the table, have been for a bit. 25 points from 10 games. Impressive from Dan Cowley's boys. Last season, they were seventh in their first season back in the Football League, but they could be on for promotion. Of course, we remember them with their cup run. And it's good to see, because sometimes when you see teams who have a good cup run, you think, oh, how are they getting on? You have a little look-see and like, oh, yeah, they're playing combined counties now, isn't they?
For example, Macclesfield Town, good cup run, got whopped 8-0 on their bottom of the Football League.
Exactly.
Can happen.
But, you know, the Imps.
Yes.
Could find themselves playing Pompey next season. We don't think they'll go
they
up.
They could be above Pompey next season.
Yeah. Technically. You get, it's like Sunday League if you prove to yourself.
Do you know
really
what we're
good.
All hoping for? Portsmouth Southampton next season.
Yeah.
Can't give any more because I've not seen Lincoln this season, so
that's
I can't tell you what they
that's
could.
True. But Pompey are on for promotion. Right, let's crack open the WhatsApp group.
WhatsApp group! Just got to find the button.
It always comes at the same point of the show, so you can just get your finger ready and then just press it when you want to press it.
Label the, if you label the buttons properly.
They are labelled, it's just that we've got so much production at your insistence.
You still haven't placed it.
iPads are actually quite user-friendly though, aren't they?
Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
Welcome to the WhatsApp group, everybody.
That jingle's called WhatsApp, so that gives it away.
Yeah, but look how many jingles
you've
got.
You've got a lot of
now.
Options, Pete. Well
so
done,
many jingles.
Yeah. It's a good job you're not a fucking pilot. That's all I'd say. Or an air traffic controller. Or a doctor. There was just loads of medication on offer. I didn't know what to give the patient.
I took out something. Could have been a lung, could have been the heart. I don't know.
He does live radio. Yeah. So you've got tons of buttons and all the rest of it on
there. Yeah, in a multi-million pound studio, I'll have you know, Mark.
Hang on, this isn't far off.
Whoa, steady.
Also, we've worked hard for this studio, young man.
People listen to this show.
Yeah.
Oh! Anyway,
what do you think?
WhatsApp group. I know, Pete, you are dying to bring something to this group.
Yes.
Yes.
We talked about it during the week on WhatsApp, so bring it to the table right now.
So,
go on, mate.
We spoke about this gentleman yesterday, prompted by an emailer who I must admit I forget his name, but Nelly Yor. A sort of
in Australia,
a man down under.
We spoke about it on Thursday show.
Thursday show, yeah, like a mythical kind of slightly Walter Mitty kind of character. He slid into our DMs. He's been hearing what we've been talking about. We've been talking about him. Always listening.
Bring people up to date on who he actually is.
He's a man who
claims to be a footballer.
Claims to be a footballer.
Friend of the
trials.
Stars.
Yeah, friend to the stars. Friends to notable
Usain Bolt
runners. Usain Bolt and stuff like that. Well, he slid into our DMs basically with pictures of him in football kits, hanging out with the aforementioned Usain Bolt. Get your facts right before talking rubbish on air. You might get more listeners. Yeah. And then
we'll have a lot less content, young man.
And then a little while later, he sends a picture of his American Express. He's like an American. He's got a lot of American Express swag, basically, that he's got in his house.
He sent us a picture of a pass, like a work pass, with his face on it and his name, which said American Express Field Relationships Manager underneath.
Yeah.
Which basically means that he's got a job at American Express, but yet he's also tweeting, doing little videos saying thanks to American Express for
extending
my contract.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to be sponsored by you and stuff.
Maybe he's
sponsored for what?
Yeah. Past his probation?
Maybe,
I think fake it till you make it. He's spreading the good word for the Amex.
Someone's told on us, haven't they?
Yeah.
If you work for Amex,
maybe you can clear it up.
Yeah. Maybe we do have the wrong end of the stick. Yeah.
And then later on, he went back to, no offence intended, just harmless fun. Still love the ramble. Can I be a friend of the show?
Oh.
Nelly, you can be a friend of the show. Put that on your Twitter.
You can ride with us, Nelly.
Football ramble brand ambassador.
And just so you guys know, I've just typed in Nelly Yoa American Express into Google.
Yes.
And the first result is American Express issues cease and desist letter to Nelly Yoa. So,
but that could have been ages ago.
Yeah. Could have been ages ago. They've come round.
It's Google. It's got the date on it. Yeah. It is, to be fair, it's January 2018. But he's had legal action threatened against him by American Express. I'm just reporting it because it's out there.
Yeah.
There we go.
Good old Nelly Yoa.
And then the next entry is Nelly Yoa stands by his story despite days of denials. So, see where this is going.
This is what he's doing. He's doubling down. He's got to, isn't he? Yeah. He's got to protect the brand.
Fake it till you make it. I'm having it.
That's what me and Marcus used to do when we first started this podcast.
We're important.
Yeah. I'm not a man who... I don't mind the hustle. I don't mind the hustle. No. I'm happy. I don't mind it.
I'm on board.
Just saying, when you slide into the DMs, to a man like Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
That's when you make it personal.
The world's greatest lover, I hear. Yeah. That's what I've been hearing.
Let's get him on a ramble meets.
Pete Donaldson. Jurex is Pete Donaldson.
Magnum, thank you.
Magnum, Pete Donaldson. You know, sponsored by Agent Provocateur. Yeah.
Magnum PPI.
Imagine me and some Undy Grundies.
I'd rather not.
From Agent Provocateur.
We don't have to. We can just remember back when you did that about a month ago.
Pete Donaldson and Agent Provocateur lingerie. You just imagined the new live video for our next show.
Oh, you old rotter.
Anyway, Nelly, if you're listening, good, more power to your elbow. Absolutely. Get back in touch. Why not?
Absolutely. Speaking of those liberal with the truth, Romario will be running for Rio State governor in the elections next week. He's currently a senator in Brazil's Congress, and Neymar's thrown his support behind him. Are we throwing our support behind him?
He's thrown himself to the ground.
I was about to say, yeah. Makes a change from throwing himself on the floor.
I swear you have like a South American magic eight ball that comes up with Romario.
Yeah.
Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Ronaldinho. Neymar. There's no story about all of them, Neymar.
Google.com, click news, Romario, search. Thank you.
Oh, we're a bit light this week. Oh, can I Google translate?
Yeah, Diego Maradona. No, that's depressing.
I'll be in the studio in 5 minutes. I'm just Google translating this Gigi Becali quote.
Oh, you haven't done that for a while. Maybe I should find out what Becali's doing.
Good point.
Yeah. All right, let's get on.
Here we are. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. We're back on Thursday, of course, for the preview show. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
I'm pressing the button.
Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Cheers.
Thank you very much, Nelly Foa. And thank you very much from me.
Nelly Yoa.
No, Nelly, get that right. Nelly Foa is way more appropriate. Yeah, absolutely.
Come and take a ride with us. I'm going down, down, baby, don't street in a Range Rover. Boom, 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 baby, got ready to let it go. Shimmy, shimmy, Uncle Watt, listen to it now. Light it up and then pass it to me now. I'm going down, down, baby.
I got a pole in my basement!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.